Hey, it's Bob Fibbs, the Retail Doc. Thanks for joining me on my podcast, Tell Me Something Good About Retail, where I interview some of the best entrepreneurs and retailers and people who deal with retail in a new and exciting podcast format each week. So join me live here, or you can also find out more about me at retaildoc.com. That's RETAILDOC.com. Let's get going. Today I'm speaking with Tony Drockton, the chief cheerleader of Hammett Bags based in Los Angeles. He shares how he initially sold his handbags, how he's developed an influencer program, who his customer is, how he had to get a CEO, and what it takes to grow a new retail brand. Join me for one of the most passionate guys I've ever met. Hey, it's Bob Fibbs, the Retail Doc, with Tell Me Something Good About Retail. And today I'm with...
Tony Drockton.
And Tony and I met at the Oracle...
Pre-party.
Pre-party, where we both just kind of started laughing because he gave me his business card, which I thought was business cards, because I couldn't understand what he was saying about the name of his company. So tell us about your company, and he's...
He's talking about a bromance that we had, by the way.
Totally.
I don't know who he was either, but it was about... 5 minutes of back and forth, fun. And then he was gone. So I am Tony Drockton.
Because he's from Los Angeles and I'm from New York. And the 3 hour thing was just terrible. But he makes these amazing bags. I was just listening to one of his customers tell me how wonderful he is. There have been 10 years you were wholesale only.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now you're in 800 locations. So how'd you guys start? What can you tell me about it?
Well, I'm the chief cheerleader of Hammett. We're a Southern California fast-growing women's handbag accessory line.
Okay.
And, had a lot of fun today. I think you heard us talk about physical meets digital.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What else can I say?
So
I'm nervous, man.
You're in Las Vegas. You're a Los Angeles brand. You started at the beach.
Right.
You have these great events where you go through. And you said your customers are, like, passionate about you. And like you kind of poo-pooed social media at first, right?
In all honesty, we had to pick our battles. So 10 years ago, my battle was to just get partners to trust us and carry the brand. I went wholesale when everyone was starting online. And it took about 5 or 6 years to get some traction with enough boutiques and specialties carrying our line, following our business model, carrying the culture and everything that I wanted them to know about us to that customer, building relationships.
So how did you find that retailer that fits into that?
Literally one at a time in the beginning. I walked in myself.
Wait a minute, how many accounts are you in right now?
800. But it's a tipping point, right, Bob?
But people don't appreciate the shoe leather anymore.
No.
Right? You have to just go out and see them.
Yeah, you think that it doesn't work, but it does. Pick up the phone. Make a call.
Nice.
Stop in, say hello. Stop in again, see how it's going. Simple things like that. And then once I was able to get some people to believe in me and join me on the team, they took over some of those hats. Yeah. And here we are today, 10 years later, 10-year anniversary, 800 stores carrying us. What you don't know is the business model. So the business model we really follow, Bob, is we took that European model, that long-term focus on brand equity, and we brought that over here for an American handbag brand. And we really are focused on being the next great American handbag brand that follows that European model of price integrity. One price, everyone pays it.
Brand. Well, hold on one sec. That means it's the same whether I'm getting it online or in a store. That's it.
Yeah.
So what if I'm with Jane's, I don't know, handbag world and I'm carrying Hammett and you find out I'm like 30% off every day or something?
Well, luckily in America, you can legally enforce what's called minimum advertised pricing. Every retailer that...
And that's it.
If she doesn't do it, you don't have to sell them anymore.
Pull it out.
Yeah, it's okay.
So you really support your dealers then?
Yeah, because of the people that partner with us, I can give them a lot of support. Imagine a $500 to $700, all leather, great craftsmanship handbag that actually sells for $500, $700. My retail partners love it. My customers love it even more. You know why? After they've decided to carry our brand, 6 months later, a year later, our core products are still sitting in the same store they carried it at the same value that they saw it.
So it's not in and out. Got to get something else in.
Yeah.
It's classic.
We have a fashion portion of our collection now because we're large enough.
Yeah.
And we've actually moved from 2 collections a year to 4 a year. This year we have 6. And we've layered on every 2 weeks a quick drop following the athletic footwear industry. So what we're doing every 2 weeks, we drop a color, we drop a new design, we drop something exciting, either a collaboration or something ourselves, which keeps it even more fresh.
And you're reaching it through email, you're reaching it through social media. What are you doing with it?
Everything. So, you know, we have a really, you know, well-segmented email list, high quality. Our social media right now is fairly robust, primarily Instagram, Facebook. We have influencers all over the country, about 200 strong, almost every state. We throw a lot of events. We talked about experiential retail.
Your target girl, she's woman.
You know, I found that I can describe her more by who she is in personality than age and demographics.
Okay.
She is. I mean, she feels.
Is she like you?
Yeah.
She's outgoing? She's confident?
Like, Either she's outgoing and confident physically the way you see her, or inside. She definitely wants to be married. She probably wants children. She wants to be successful, whether she is now or was. She really cares about her community, and she loves when somebody recognizes that she made a great choice or she did something really good. So by wearing a helmet, she's in the club. We like to say almost the cult. It's like she knows something that other people don't know, which is that she made a decision to buy not the obvious choice, the brand that not everyone else was carrying when she purchased it, but suddenly she sees more and more because other people are finding out about it, and they're finding about it from her.
And it's not her age. All she's old or young, doesn't matter.
We like to say we're multi-generational. I do a lot of trunk shows, a lot of appearances. We do. I try to be out where my ultimate customer client is. And I found we've got moms, we've got daughters. Sometimes we have daughters, moms, and we have some granddaughters.
That's amazing.
Can I do a plug?
Hit it.
We are the brand that's not for a reason, not for a season, but for a lifetime. And if you call now...
You get those Ginsu knives.
Right. And wait,
but
there's more.
There's a coupon for 4 cents off a Subway.
But think about it. What's the hottest category in apparel, in footwear, in handbags? Vintage.
Absolutely.
Vintage is on fire. Why is vintage on fire?
It seems more authentic. Back when stuff was made well.
I think it's on fire because they can't find the new brands that are doing what they want them to do. They can't find a brand that they've really embraced and love right now that's currently on the shelf that's unique enough for them to carry every day. It's a new club, and the club is, I'm carrying something that has a heritage, that has a story, that's been around for not just my generation, maybe my mom's and grandmother's, and I feel good about it. And you know what? We sit right next to vintage and our top partners all over the country, and I hope one day to be in that conversation.
Sure,
that's what I say. Just a part of it.
And by the way, you got to spell the name of your business.
Hammett. Hammitt.
So what's the greatest challenge you think you ran into in the last 3 years? Because you're very customer focused. You really very customer focused. So what's like the greatest challenge and how you solved it? Trying to solve it?
The greatest challenge in the last 3 years is my third time starting a company was to realize I took it as far as I could on day to day. And so I brought in a team to help me find a CEO. And I brought in a full-time CEO in December. His name is Andrew Forbes. He was actually the founding CEO of Jimmy Choo, and he was my first mentor. And being an entrepreneur and a person that really likes to control every detail, being able to step back and let him take over all day-to-day duties and make all decisions only with
my
guidance, for an entrepreneur, it was huge for me. But luckily, I've had a lot of support. I've got a lot of other people that have done it before me that are friends. And I have to say, it's been 3.5 months. Letting go has allowed me to get back to what I love.
Yeah,
creativity, getting out.
Cheerleading.
With the customers. Cheerleading with the pom-pom. I mean it. I've taken away most of the stress that I probably had really piled on because I didn't have anyone to take it off of me.
Yeah. No, I think that's really important for everybody listening because that's what makes retail really great is you have this vision and then sometimes we can't let go. I thought yesterday we were listening to
Rachel Zoe.
And one of the things that she thought was most important was she learned she had to be at the idea part first because too many ideas came to her at the end where there's nothing she could do about it. And she couldn't influence it. And I thought, that's how you lose a brand. I can't change it. We've got to run with it.
Yeah.
Or worse, we can't run with it.
Right.
But dude, we've worked 6 months on this project.
Right.
If we don't have this, we have nothing for holiday. Well, I don't care. We're stopping it.
Right.
So entrepreneurs hate that moment. And then you start blaming everybody instead of, I'm in the wrong place right now.
And she, I think if I follow, I remember, she said she brought in a team so she can get back to that point where she can get involved in the beginning. Is that what she said?
Yeah,
that was a good comeback. I forgot that.
Because that's what you've done.
I'm back to that. I'm back.
And you're liking it better.
I'm in the place where I love to be. I love to be in front of our clients one-on-one and hear their story.
And you trust that. And you trust him. I think that's kind of it. So if you were telling a friend, so you've got this friend. I love this question. So you've got this friend who's going to go into some kind of a retail business. So it's they're knowing they're going to open a brick and mortar business. Got it?
Yeah.
That's where they're going.
Got it.
So you're explaining to them over Starbucks. Yeah. That's, you're trying to be supportive.
Yeah.
What would you tell somebody right now? What should they do?
Well, I would say find the new wave of successful retail and spend some time. Even go to work at them. Work at a Starbucks for a day. Spend a whole afternoon in a Bonobos. See if you can ask Warby Parker if you can do an internship. Do anything
but
to learn.
But she's 45. Is she?
That's fine. Hey, you know what? Okay. Learn from the successful ones. By the way, it's free. And you might even get paid for it.
Right.
And then once you feel like you got it, or at least enough of it, and hopefully you have the financial backing, and you've got the chutzpah. You're an entrepreneur. You're willing to roll the dice. You will be successful. See, there is really no new retail.
No.
You know what it is? It's retail refresh, I call it.
Yeah.
It's retail refresh. The same principles that brought Sears to the top of its game and then the Walmarts of the world and now the Amazons are the same. What was
connecting with customers, I think.
Connect with your customers and give them what they want at that time.
But if you get in that new, the new successful retailers, you realize, oh, that's how mobile fits into this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, you're not learning it, right? And but God forbid, you're not the one trying to, just for our listeners, you're not the one trying to learn how to do this stuff.
No.
You just want to see how the whole fishbowl works.
No.
And then you're like, okay, so this is what it's going to take versus, you know, I've always wanted to open my own handbag store. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Right.
And I got some money to play for it. Because those people, you're like, yeah, that's just throwing your money away.
Talk to the chef that opened his first restaurant. Find out what that went. He loved to cook, but he forgot. Running a restaurant, only a portion of it is about the great food.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it? The rest is managing people.
Do it
managing finances, managing legal.
Cost of goods, human, right?
Cost of goods, physical, legal. So there's a whole picture. So if you're going to open a retail business and you don't understand all of those, take some time to at least get your feet wet. And once you feel comfortable in a couple of the areas, hire the other ones, as Rachel Zoe said, and get in there and then go as fast as you can. Never take your eye off that customer.
That might even be, if you're struggling, go and take a job in one of those places and learn someone that's not struggling and suddenly go like, oh, that's why I'm missing it.
By the way, 6 months into launching Hammett, I figured I needed to learn this industry because I'm not from it. I actually went to work for a woman, Angelique, that I've known forever, for 8 months as a free intern while I was still building Hammett. So I'm actually doing what I said.
Perfect.
And it was the greatest choice ever made. I learned everything about showrooming and sales and production and And then once I felt like I got it, I came back and I pushed even harder.
Nice. And what's the best advice you ever received?
Well, the best
besides being on this podcast, that's all I'm saying. What else?
The best advice I've ever received over the 10 years in this business is all of the bad advice. Let me tell you why. Because every time I've received, this is the way it's done, or it'll be okay, or that's how you do it. And if I be specific, make it cheaper. You got to fit into this price point. You don't need to be that high of quality. Nobody's going to understand your brand. That was all given to me. And every time I just said into my gut, how does that feel if I were the customer of my brand? And when it didn't feel right, when it didn't feel like that would resonate with somebody if they were in the room, that was great, bad advice. Thank you. I'll know not to do that.
So how'd you grow a spine like that, though?
Oh, man. Lots of mistakes in the other companies.
Yeah, we all have done that.
You know shortcuts are exactly what they are. They're a shortcut. So you know what they say? Don't do anything that you wouldn't want your mom to see you doing, right? That's kind of a saying. If you really could feel good about it,
Gotcha.
So I'm not perfect either, but I can tell you, I've tried to use that as my guidepost for decisions. And it seems like it's resonating. You just met someone that I don't even know that walked up and said, I love.
Someone actually stopped him right in the middle. It's like, I really love your bags. And I was like, so why don't you get somebody else's? And she was on it. This is why I do it. And she's not from Los Angeles.
But while I'm here, it's been amazing. I don't know how they know.
Standing here in this beautiful blue, brocade I don't know what they call that material, but it's like an amazing piece, which frankly I would love to wear myself. So he's confident about who he is, but also you just don't have this negative vibe. I imagine you don't hire people like that either.
Yes, we only hire nice people. It's true. We used to have a saying in the company, no assholes. What we mean by that is we can't be one. We don't hire them. We don't partner with them. We don't let them make our product, distribute our product, sell our product. And God forbid we let them buy it. Because you know those really complainy, whiny, those people that just never give up? They're the only ones that are not allowed to really take advantage of my lifetime warranty, which is a no question asked lifetime. But I can promise you, if you're listening to this, please be nice. Because if you're not nice when one of the few Hammonds don't deliver, we really don't want you.
That's a great point. Because people think that, like, I'm going to beat up on my vendor.
Oh, my God, no.
And that's going to be the greatest thing because that's smart. Because I had a trade group that said, you really have to do that. You're like, why would you do that?
When I say no answers, I'm talking to myself in the mirror right now. Mm. There's times I want to just like, wow.
Yeah.
Even sometimes just simply when I have a person having a bad day. Maybe they're ringing me up somewhere. Maybe I'm getting a coffee. I've now turned it around, and I call I met a guy who called himself the day maker, and his whole job was to make people's day.
Bring them out.
So I'm the moment maker. My job is just take a second. Once in a while, I'll be like, hey, maybe the people before got you there. What can I do to make your day way better? Because I got time to do that.
And that's an incredibly elevated way to think, man.
Half the time they'll go, you just did.
Nice.
And half the time, they don't. And I'm like, hey, I gave it a shot, man.
I got 50-50. World's better.
Okay. By the way, I feel better doing it that way than the old Tony, which was like, this person just crushed me. And you know, why let that
And I have to get even with you by a quip or...
Yeah. Why carry that person with you all day? Yeah. What I do, at least I'm able to move on from it.
Yeah.
You know? And with employees, you can't. So don't hire them. And with vendors, you can't.
I love that. So I want to make sure that I am am being really, it's been really nice. Tony has been very generous with his time today and chatting with me here on, and the name of the podcast again is Tell Me Something Good About Retail. So why are you so bullish on retail?
I mean, my dad owned a little grocery store. I was raised in it.
Whereabouts in Los Angeles?
Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland. And my dad he was my hero. Honestly, our relationship from beginning to he just passed was never nothing but a kind word. He ran a store based on these principles, which were, it's all about the customer. You know, back then, his technology was a piece of a book with paper next to it. And if you were ringing people up and they asked for something, you wrote it in the book. And if they complained, you wrote it in the book. No, and then he would review it. If enough people asked for something, he would order and get it in. He cashed people's checks for free. He had us walk people home with their groceries. His whole philosophy was give them what they want, treat them well, and they'll keep coming back. And it might have been a convenient food mart. It might have been 3 7-Elevens in size. But as a kid, it was huge. It gave me all the basic principles of any successful retail business. And why do I love retail? Because it's where I learned how to be chief cheerleader. I learned that while 6 people are in line, the first one's angry, the second one's in a hurry, the third one is really slow. It takes forever to do things while 2 behind them are waiting anxiously. And you had to just adjust and enjoy. And it was the greatest gift. I also learned you're always cleaning while you're working. You're stocking. You're running around.
Day goes quick that way.
Oh, my gosh. Your days flies by if you're constantly moving. If you decide to go in retail, I promise you, you'll never, ever look at the clock.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at the clock... You're not made for retail.
You don't understand retail. Yeah, my pet peeve is I walk into listening to this, I walk into a retail store and there's the owner, somebody sitting behind the counter. A stool's my favorite. God. I would have a bed of nails underneath that.
No.
But even in the fanciest malls here, I was checking them out the other night. Fanciest brands you can imagine, and the girl's there watching, obviously, a Facebook video with her head down. I'm thinking, do you realize what that feels like as a shopper to walk in?
Now let's turn interrupt it around. You? What's the best experience in retail? Can I ask you?
Me?
When you walk in and you go, God, that person was awesome.
Dude, these jeans I bought in San Francisco, these jeans, as my listeners know, this was $1,000. And the woman...
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, I'm serious. And
In fact, almost everything I have on is because the salesperson. All right, stop it.
I'm touching his jeans.
And she met me in the elevator, and I just walked in this haberdashery, and she's like, "Oh, is this from this store?" And I said, "Yeah." And we just chat on the way up, and then we got out of the elevator on the 7th floor. She goes, "Oh, may I take you, show you around?" And I said, "Well, sure." And she showed me these jeans, and I saw the price point. I was like, "Yeah, I'm never trying this on." Right. And she's like, "Oh, no, you're going to try these on." I was like, "No, I'm not." She goes, "You know, a lot of guys, probably like one size up. They're a little too trim fit." And I go, "Yeah, I'm never going to try." He goes, "Well, then you're just going to try them on for the hell of it for me, right?" And to make a long story short, it was the best conversation. And I made a, if any of you retailers are listening to me, I made a decision long ago. If you're selling me the way that I teach people how to engage another human being, then you get the deal.
Yeah.
So that doesn't matter if it's jewelry, if it's art, whatever it's going to be. If you keep up the conversation with me and you help me do what I want to do, which is, this sounds crazy. Why would I do that? And I did, and it's terrible that I don't even remember the name of the brand, which is on the back. But
you love them.
I love them. And I feel special when I wear them, which is the same way you feel with your jacket, which is the same way with your woman feels like. She's confident inside, but she made the choice. Whether someone else knows it or not, she like, I want to be successful. And this is my vote. This handbag is my vote that I'm going to be successful, or I am successful, or this is what matters to me. So I totally get you, dude.
Whoever listens to you, I got Bob just...
At least two of us.
How you do it. Like what he just said, it's not how much you pay for something. It's how much it makes you feel, how great inside, and how much you carry the energy of the moment you made the decision. And then what reinforces it with someone else walks up and goes, "Bob, are those...
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
I met that girl. How amazing is she?"
She's been there, by the way, for 40 years.
That's my
holy
grail.
Yeah.
If someone talks that way about one of my team members, by the way, I glow.
You did it.
And I hear it all the time.
Right.
Because
like,
I
get to work with
them. Megan, Chris, they're amazing. I just have to share this with you. And I'm just like, well, tell me. And then that's the holy
Instead
grail.
Of, yeah, we know that.
Right? No, no.
Right? I want to hear that story.
Yes.
I want to know exactly why it was special.
Please tell me all the details. You know, those are those moments that you cherish as the owner of a brand. I think if you can cherish them as an employee of a company, you're ready to own a brand or a company.
That's what I think. Tell you're ready to, you can build a brand.
If
that
you
person.
Embrace it as an employee, if I ever get confused, if I ever say to a small business in the business, I'll be like, "God, you're the owner, Bob." And they go, "No, actually,
that's my favorite thing to do."
I always go, "You're going to be one day.
Yeah.
You get it.
I love
you
that.
Tricked me. Not a lot of people can pull that off. You're an owner. You just don't know yet."
And that's a lot of it, too. They don't know either.
Yeah.
Right? They're working in retail. They don't have any aspirations to do anything other than, I want to serve people. I want to help people. I know how to dress. I know how to accessorize. It's like help people. And you're like, but have you ever thought of the next level? See, that's what just to wrap this up, that you're taking your brand in whole ways you didn't even think of 2 years ago. Because you're thinking like, well, what else could we do? We were just listening to a panel where... Outdoor Voices.
The
guy comes up with this AR app that his catalog is on the trail as you walk, and you're able to see it first if you go on a walk with them at their select stores. And so 50 to 100 people show up, and they walk through and they start ordering it. And now people are like asking, "Can you turn onto my trail?"
Right.
Even though I don't live anywhere by you. Well, you know, that's all great, but if you're not like Tony, if you haven't like put that foundation work in, if you haven't gone through and said, "This is who I am, this is who I haven't, this is who my customer is," I'm not going to cheapen my brand, because that cheapens the way I think of me and the way I think about what we're doing in the world. That's not me. If you don't have that North Star, the way I think of it, then damn it, you're going to do everything, and you're going to follow all the bad things, and then you know what you're going to do is you're going to blame everyone else that it's, oh, it's the wrong time, or it's online this or online. You could play in a lot of different ways if you're just willing to open your heart to another human being. So
absolutely.
I think the thing is that when you tell me something great about retail, it's meeting guys like Tony and actually understand that feel it, love it, Hammett. That's not just a slogan. He's actually got that on the back of his iPhone. And again, anything else you want to leave our thoughts with? Where should they visit you on Facebook? Or you got to visit him on Facebook because he's got his live videos, which are awesome.
Yeah, Facebook, Hammett Los Angeles, Instagram, Hammett LA. I'm Style Profit, STYLEPROFIT.
Are you really? I'm Retail Doctor, Style Profit.
Isn't that amazing?
I love that. We have to have our little monikers. That's it.
East meets West.
I like that.
Doctors, Prophets.
I like that.
You know, I'll leave it with this thought. Everything that he just said resonated with me. If it resonates with you, you're ready to jump into retail. That's it.
That's perfect. That's great. This is Bob Phibbs, the retail doctor, and
Tony Drockton, style prophet.
Love that. So turn into another edition and tell your friends, because you know what? There's a lot of bad stuff we're listening about retail, about business, about it sucks to be us. Tell me something good about retail. I'll see you next time. Thanks so much.
Woo-hoo! Bye.
Tune in next podcast when I interview Deanna Renda, the founder of Naples Soap Company, to talk about how she started from humble beginnings as a nurse trying to solve her child's skincare problem, building her network of 11 stores throughout Florida, and how she called her real estate agent the day after Hurricane hit all of her stores. You won't want to miss it.
And that brings us to the end of another edition of Tell Me Something Good About Retail. I'm your host, Bob Phibbs, the Retail Doctor. Please share the love and tell your friends to subscribe as I engage retailers to share their tips for growing your retail business. Find out more about me at retaildoc.com. That's RETAILDOC.com. While you're there, you can find a transcript of this podcast. You can send an email to me at bob@retaildoc.com to tell me what you thought of this episode. And or you can leave a comment and share your experience right here as it relates to what we were talking about today. Again, I hope you'll tune in for another episode, and good selling.